Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, the Astros falling to the Kansas City Royals last night, 7-4. Javier wasn't bringing it to the level that we're used to. Overall, not that concerned. They had a really hot May, a great June, and we expect them to have a great July. Hopefully, we can see Yordan bringing it in the home run derby in a couple of weeks. I'm Vanessa Richardson. Paul Gallant is at home with the Rona.
Yeah.
No. How you feeling, bud? How you feeling?
I honestly didn't feel great after I got home yesterday. I feel pretty good right now.
Okay, good.
So it's just one of those things where it hits you. The thing I'm most frustrated about is this is going to be the second time in like 7 months that I get Corona right before I'm supposed to fly back and visit my godson. So that sucks. But, and I'm going to miss out on a wedding with some childhood.
Wait, you can't go to the wedding?
No, I can't go. No, I had to cancel all that. So yeah.
No.
It sucks. But you know, you got to keep people safe and all that. So I, you know, the wedding I was at, we have been hearing more and more information like over the last, like, I don't know, like 10 hours of people who are like, yeah, I'm not feeling good.
Oh,
so,
no.
Yeah, so it happened there. And, yep. So I just feel bad that I came into work yesterday. I got that, you know, rapid test when I first got back from Puerto Rico, and mm-hmm. I felt fine. And I took the test, and it was, you know, negative with both the tests that I took. But I went and got the PCR test too, which is something I used to do when I was living in Seattle, because they make you so paranoid. Whenever you get back from traveling, they were like, you need a lab test before you can come back into work. So like that used to be the first thing I would do whenever I got back, and that's what I did, and it just takes a couple of days to get it. So anyway, I'm pretty mad, but whatever. You can only control what you can control, and at the very least, it could be a lot worse. So
yeah, well, I'm glad that you're feeling okay. Paul is joining us via his home, but we're glad that he's joining us regardless. So the Astros, there's been a narrative painted about them that everybody kind of followed the first couple years after the cheating scandal, and I do think it was true, which was everybody hated the Astros. You heard various players say it. You've heard Brian Cashman try to cash in on it, for lack of a better term. So he did a by, you know, saying that what they did was horrific, etc. But that's not always the national narrative now. And we heard, you know, I read a quote earlier of Hal Steinbrenner from the Yankees saying the Astros should scare people because they're really good. Houston native and MLB Network anchor Robert Flores, who hosts the morning show on MLB Network, talked about the fact that he doesn't think that the Astros are hated anymore. Here's Roflo.
I did grow up in Houston, mm-hmm. and I'm now a member of the national media, which everyone hates, by the way. We get it. Everyone hates the media. Everyone, you know, everyone hates your team. We all root against your team and stuff like that. So, with that being said, the anti-Astro East Coast bias thing, for the most part, yeah, there's some pockets here and there, I'm sure, but for the most part, it doesn't exist. I'm here to tell you it does not exist. Most people, members of the media, writers, broadcasters, again, you're going to have a couple of holdouts, but for the most part, they are so beyond 2017, and it's just not something that no one's holding a grudge against the Astros. Again, I'm speaking in general terms. No one is rooting for them to fail.
I do believe him, and I think he's speaking more about the media, because I think that that's a shift that you've seen too, right? Where it's no longer Every headline has to do with the Astros cheating. Every headline has to do with garbage cans. Like, I, you know, case in point, when the Apple TV broadcasters, which I, whose idea that was, I have no idea. But that first Apple TV game where Katie Nolan, like, tried to joke around about garbage cans, and there was just this collective, like, on Twitter, like, okay, man, like, if you're, if that's going to be your only angle. So I see what he's saying there.
I do see what he's saying as well, but at the same time, there's a part of me that sees this and remembers his time in Seattle, where if I even mentioned Houston, if I even mentioned them,
people really didn't like you in Seattle, did they?
They hiss. They would hiss.
Every subject I bring up, it's like, God, people in Seattle.
Listen, I like a lot of the people there. But whenever they brought – whenever I talked about the Astros, and I always tried to talk about them in a fair way.
Sure.
There was a vitriol that came out, whether it was on the text line there, whether it was on Twitter there. And I don't buy what Robert's saying. Like, I think you have to be in some of these other markets. And there is not one member of that city's media that would, I think, be able to talk about the Astros in a non-biased way. And I feel like you could say the exact same thing about New York City. I imagine there are some people in Boston who feel the same way. I don't buy what Robert is saying. Okay, maybe from a national perspective, the idea that someone like Buster Olney or Jeff Passan or someone else are out to slander the Astros at the expense of the Yankees. Okay, I don't necessarily buy into that. But I also, at the same time, do buy into the idea that deep down, those people are probably rooting against the Astros, that they don't want to see this team succeed again. I don't think it necessarily comes out in the same way that some other people might argue it does online, but I think that deep down, much like everyone was sick of the Patriots, everyone is sick of the Astros. And yeah, there is a hatred, a national hatred for that team.
The difference is that this Astros team is likable. Those Patriots teams were unfreaking bearable. Good
God. I don't
know.
Gronk's pretty cool. What about Aaron Hernandez? Just
and
kidding.
Yeah, great guy. And they
they won a lot, but here's the thing with those Astros teams.
He had looks that could kill.
People think Altuve. Oh my God, jeez. people think Altuve is like a bad guy. Like a
no,
cheater.
They see. I disagree. Here, I think most people like Altuve now.
I don't agree with that at all. He will be absolutely destroyed from booze, and it's taken I think a long time for some people to get past the idea that there was just a lump in his shirt. It wasn't a buzzer. I feel like because of some of the people that were out there online that posted that big conspiracy theory about how there was a buzzer and stuff in there, that has, I think, created a situation where there are a lot of people out there who have a disposition against Altuve without actually knowing the guy, who is a delightful fellow, if you will.
Not only was he delightful, every single member of that team that's spoken about it has said he's the one that didn't want to do it. So mm-hmm. People also lack critical listening skills, per se. Okay, so Yordan, like Altuve, whoever goes to the All-Star Game, festivities, home run derby, et cetera, et cetera, in L.A., who, what'd you say?
Boycott it.
Yeah. Let's say that they end up going, which is what they should do because it's in L.A. and we want to stick it to the Dodgers stadium fans. Do you think they get booed?
Oh, definitely. Yes, they're going to be booed. They're going to be booed more than anybody else. It's going to be bad. Now, the people in Los Angeles, I mean, I went to a Dodgers game there and I wore an Astros shirt. And I guess people didn't understand that it was an Astros shirt. And look, it's not like it's exactly the best sports town. So I can understand why maybe they didn't understand what H-Town meant on my shirt. But, you know, I thought I was going to get stabbed when I was there. I guess I was kind of asking for it. Did I have a death wish in that moment in time? I don't know. Whatever the case, yes, they're going to boo the hell out of any Astro that's out there, even if that Astro was not a part of the 2017 team.
It's kind of lame, but it is what it is at this point.
I like it, Vanessa. It's cool.
You
to be
like
hated.
It. You think it adds the. You think you like being hated?
Yes. Why? Why not? Like, I mean, do you really in sports? Do you really want everyone to like you? Because generally, if you're the team that everybody likes, you know deep down inside that you're probably going to blow it in the end. No one is threatened by you. You know, people liked the Golden State Warriors until they won the first title. And then all of a sudden, things changed a little bit. People like the Buffalo Bills right now. how are people going to feel about the Buffalo Bills should they win a Super Bowl? I think everyone looks at the Bills now and they're like, well, they've never won. They've come so close so many times. Their fans are hilarious people. We want them to win. If they win, people will turn on them. Cubs fans, people turn on them. Red Sox fans, well, I guess Red Sox fans have
always
been
hated, so. The underdog.
I think being the underdog, people like the underdog. People do not like the team that continuously wins, especially if that team is accused of cheating. And you know what? Embrace it. You don't need to be liked. Just talk down to all these people and act like they're beneath you because they were born in a different city than you. It's fun to do that.
Never you, Paul. we'll talk more on Vanessa and Gallant. I do want to invite you tomorrow to our summer circuit. It takes us to Cypress Trail Hideout, home of Papa Charlie's Barbecue. We're going to be broadcasting live from noon to 7. Come enjoy incredible barbecue, ice cold beer, frozen cocktails, and a whole lot more. You can register to win a new Girl from Texas Star Grill Shop and a weekend getaway from Lafayette Travel. It's this Friday. We'll see you at Cypress Trail Hideout, home of Papa Charlie's Barbecue on Hempstead near Spring Cypress.
ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, we wondered where he would go, and it appears that that is Carolina. Baker Mayfield has been traded to the Carolina Panthers. It was, of course, the biggest news to come from yesterday, that deal is for all of a 2024 conditional fifth round pick. Yes, that's all they got for a former first round draft pick. First overall, the Browns are going to pay Baker Mayfield's $10.5 million salary this season. So they were able to trim over $8 million in cash and salary cap space. The Panthers will owe him less than $4 million, or less than $5 million, excuse me. Browns, of course, play the Panthers week one. I'm excited for this one, Paul.
It'll be interesting to see if Baker Mayfield can still be the same guy that he used to be, but I think for the most part, the expectation should be that he won't. That said, okay, Carolina is slightly more interesting this season, that's for sure. The idea of them going into this year with Sam Darnold was a complete bore. That's a guy that does not deserve any more opportunities to be a quarterback in the league. But I do wonder, you know, it's an interesting quarterback room that they have right now with Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield and their rookie Matt Corral. I don't necessarily know that any one of those guys can be definitively ruled out as a starter going into the year. So that'll be interesting, but it should be Baker Mayfield that week one. And Mayfield, who of course carries chips on his shoulder like a hoarder, I think he's going to be very ready for that game.
Didn't they trade up for Matt Corral?
I believe they did.
So
yes.
They're just kind of throwing it around, right? Because they were in the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes as well.
And they wanted it badly.
Yeah, I mean, now they have Baker Mayfield. If you're David Tepper, is this just your complete Hail Mary? Like, we have to win. We have to make this work.
I think it's more a Hail Mary for Matt Rhule.
Yeah.
Because Matt Rhule should have been fired. Let's be honest. They gave him a ton of money, and that's the only reason I think he still has the job. They gave him so much money up front, despite him not having done anything at the NFL level. And I mean, okay, you know, he was successful in college I think it was Temple first, and then Baylor, great. But that's one thing to succeed in college. It's another thing with your smock on. It's another thing to succeed at the NFL level. And I think they had a little bit too much faith in him going into it. And I mean, if you just take a look, I think it was Sharp Football who outlined basically just how little stability there's been in the quarterback room in Carolina over the last couple of years. And it's nuts. I mean, first off, just think about the fact that they are swapping coordinators too. You know, they got rid of their offensive coordinator last year. And on top of that, they now are replacing that guy with, of all people, Ben McAdoo. and then, I mean, here's what they've done. They signed Teddy Bridgewater, traded for Sam Darnold, traded away Teddy Bridgewater. Then they exercised Darnold's fifth-year option, signed Matt Barkley, signed Cam Newton, started Cam Newton, benched Cam Newton, cut Matt Barkley, re-signed P.J. Walker,
drafted Matt Corral.
XFL legend.
Yes. And then traded for Baker Mayfield. Like, that's a ton. That's a ton of things to do. And he just feels like he has been flailing and flailing.
Yeah.
With zero chance of reaching whatever he's flailing for.
One national media member thinks that the Panthers are playoff bound. Yes, you heard that right. Here Good is God. None other than Dan Orlovsky.
This is why I think this is a playoff team with Baker Mayfield, the guy we saw 2 years ago. Because that's the last time he was healthy. He was third in the NFL in QBR, led them to the playoffs. Number one, this is a top 10 defense in the NFL for the Carolina Panthers. Has one of the better young defensive lines in the league with Brian Burns and Derrick Brown. They also get J.C. Horn back, who was their superstar corner first-round draft pick from the South Carolina. They'll get him back healthy. So this is going to be a very good defense. If all those things are what they can and or should be, this is a team that's going to make the playoffs in the NFC.
Oh my God. I mean,
I was excited for you to hear that audio clip.
Yeah,
here's the thing. He's assuming the problem is with that, of course, is that he's assuming that Baker Mayfield can play the way that he played 2 years ago, that he'll stay healthy. The Panthers have had major injury issues. Does one Christian McCaffrey getting injured against the Texans ring a bell? He's assuming that that can happen. Could they be a playoff team? Sure. Any team could be a playoff team. If Davis Mills and Brandon Cooks are on fire, yeah, I mean, it's not going to happen, right? But, like, my point is, of course they could be. A lot of things have to line up, Dan Orlovsky. A lot of things.
He said the word if. If is such a massive word for only two letters.
That was deep, Paul.
I know. Christian McCaffrey being healthy is a massive thing. And look,
some
if you go
Kyrie
back
to Kyrie Irving BS.
Yeah. Hey, you know, the earth doesn't look round. You can't see the curvature of the earth.
If is such a massive word for two letters. Yeah. Have you tried that at Kirby Ice House? Anyway, go ahead.
Shouldn't I? Anyway, circling back to this. When Baker Mayfield was in Cleveland, which is Orlovsky is laying out, he had really good support from a great running game. Okay, I mean, he had Nick Chubb, who I think is one of the, pound for pound, maybe the best yards after contact running back in the NFL that we've seen in a while, including Derrick Henry. And we also have in Cleveland, you had Kareem Hunt too. Like, they had a really good running game. And yes, Baker Mayfield certainly deserves credit for being a part of that team. But, and for whatever reason, even though it didn't work out with Odell Beckham Jr., I guess with Jarvis Landry, it was fine. But McCaffrey's inability to stay on the field, like that is once again what Carolina is relying on. And I think McCaffrey's an awesome player. I think he's great as a running back and as a receiver. I don't think it was crazy to draft him that early. The injuries have just been really unfortunate for him. You don't predict injuries to happen, but they need Christian McCaffrey to be healthy for 17 games. And I don't know why you would believe that if for this to even start. And then after that, Baker Mayfield needs to develop chemistry with Robbie Anderson, who has already said essentially that he doesn't want Baker Mayfield on the team.
One of the things you and I have talked about is that it is telling that guys have not come from that locker room standing up for him. I mean, it's just not happening, right? Like, nope. It's not happening with Kyler Murray. It's not happening with him. I hate to say it. The guys in the locker room have said they like Deshaun Watson. I mean, I don't shoot the messenger, but usually you have guys that stick up for their quarterback, and that is not happening here. Here's a question for you, Paul. Which conference has gotten stronger over the last couple of years? And I know you like college football. I know you've worked in this market on and off for a long time. Did the SEC or the Big Ten get stronger within the last couple of months? Of course, with the given additions of the future, USC, UCLA going to the Big Ten, Texas and OU to the SEC.
Oh, the SEC. I'll give the Big Ten credit for grabbing USC, because if USC can ever figure its stuff out, then, I mean, that is a program that has a very, very ardent fan base. I would say, like, as far as football fan bases in Los Angeles, like, that's by far the number one. That's the only one where people, like, really care. But I mean, we're still talking about a SEC that had added Texas A&M, obviously a decade ago, with Texas A&M finally seeming to realize how they can win in their own way through NIL and
right.
the vast resources they have. Now you're adding another school with a ton of resources that obviously underperforms like crazy in Texas. Sorry, Sean Mapes. You're also adding Oklahoma, who was the reason the Big 12 was relevant for the last couple of decades. They were carrying it with how good that they have been since what like 2009? Like it feels like every single, maybe even further back. It feels like every single year from 2000 on that you have seen Oklahoma be dominant.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's honestly largely been their entire history.
I have to say that the Big Ten got stronger just because I don't know that the SEC could get any stronger. You know what I mean? But from the perspective of what does adding the budgets, I mean, God, the budget at Texas, is it not other than Alabama and A&M, the biggest one in college? It's like top three.
It's massive.
I mean, it's massive. So, yeah, from the dollars perspective, from the TV rights perspective, it probably is SEC. Either way, it seems like, Paul, we could be inching towards those super conferences.
Oh, definitely.
Some point soon. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, our world-famous gambling segment. Yes, world-famous. We're going to talk a little bit of NBA drama as well. But first, Paul's going to tell you about PIN.
Yes, the Passive Investor Network, people. Look, we all want to make money, and one way to do it is through real estate investing. Well, why not do it with the Passive Investor Network? These guys will sit down with you to personalize a five-year plan for you so that you and your family can accrue real wealth through real estate. And guess what? You might be thinking to yourself, hey, I don't know, Paul, this sounds like a Ponzi scheme. Hey, Paul, I don't have right now the amount of money that I feel like I can put into this. Well, that's why you want to sit down with them and talk with them. And they're going to walk you through a five-year plan. And look, what they do is they scout the greater Houston area for parts of town that they think are on the rise. And instead of you doing all that prospecting, they will do it for you. And then they buy some of these properties and they start to fix them up and make them look really, really good. And you can see the progress that can be made from the start when they purchase a property to 5 years later when the property is relisted for $300,000. This is what they can do for you. If you want to see it in action, you want to go on their bus tour, passiveinvestor.net is the website, the bus tour, promo code ESPN to go on the tour for free. It's passiveinvestor.net. Sit down with them. What's the harm in talking about it? We're all looking for ways to make money. This is a fantastic way to do it. It's the Passive Investor Network, passiveinvestor.net. Don't forget that promo code ESPN.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, we are rolling along on a Thursday. I'm Vanessa Richardson, Paul Gallant joining us as well as he always does, but he is from home as he continues to get better from the Rona. Paul, we're thinking of you.
Thank you.
And Jimmy Butler is thinking of P.J. Tucker. Why? P.J. Tucker had a heartfelt farewell post to the Miami Heat and the friends. Jimmy Butler commented on that Instagram post on that touching tribute and said, F you and Joel Embiid. Yeah, I brought him into this. God.
It's pretty funny.
Is he being serious? He's kidding, right?
I don't know.
You never really know with Jimmy Butler. But Sean, do you think he's serious? Like, what's your temperature on this?
So Jimmy Butler always, every time he gets an opportunity to say that he wants to play with Joel Embiid one day, he says it. He says how much he misses him. So I think,
oh, that's right.
It's a little bit, I think it's a little bit true and a little bit of like, he wouldn't say it about like anyone in the NBA, but if there's anyone he would just be like, hey, bleep you to, it'd be Joel Embiid.
He's jealous, right? I mean, this is you saying bleep you to your, I guess, ex, who is now getting with your best friend, even though you get it.
God, you have some crappy friends, some of the things you talk about.
Well, hey, I do not. I disagree. It's just drama, okay? You don't
totally
get it.
Normal. Very
you don't get it. Life is interesting. It's supposed to be weird, some of the stuff that happens in your friend group, even if it's really incestuous. It's fine. Come on. Live a little, Vanessa. Jeez.
Per his brother, Kevin Durant squashed the idea of staying. Kevin Durant's brother, squashed the idea of KD staying in Brooklyn,
right,
while also telling Skip Bayless in a creative way to go to hell.
Yes. I don't think it was that. That was kind
Skip
of creative.
The hell with that and you, said Kevin Durant's brother on an Instagram post.
Because Skip Bayless basically outlined how Durant's going to stay in Brooklyn. I don't see why Brooklyn would trade him. I mean, you've gone all in to create this. You did everything that Durant and Kyrie asked. Why would you blow this up? Like, you've traded all your picks. You've traded everything to get to this spot right now where you have now Ben Simmons, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Durant. Now you're just going to make Durant happy. So if Durant doesn't want to play, fine. If I'm the Nets, I say, well, I've gone all in, and as soon as I get rid of Durant, I am not going to matter. I am not going to get back. I'm just going to hold on to him. I think you win in the court of public opinion, because everyone is of the opinion that both Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving have turned the Nets into what they are right now, which is a joke. They said that they wanted their input heard. Well, their input was heard, and the team that they built, largely due to Kyrie Irving just being unavailable and Kevin Durant being banged up, has not played together at all, practically. So, you know, what, 48 games together or so that we've seen between Durant and Kyrie Irving? They created this mess. I think the Nets should play hardball here and say, like, look, if you ever want to play again, you got to play for us.
I just want a team in any of these leagues to say that.
Yep,
I agree. And the closest thing I think we saw was John Lynch in the 49ers with Debo Samuel, where he was like, you're actually not leaving. And right. Debo was like, okay. Arizona, I think, kind of did that with Kyler. They did cater to him. You have to do that with your quarterback. I get it. But yeah, to your point, I just want one of these GMs and one of, to just say, like, that it's not happening. It's great that you want to leave. Congrats. But we're not sending you anywhere.
Right. Look, too, here's the other thing. I mean, if you bow down to his wishes, then you're not going to get that much in a trade either, because teams are going to know that, all right, well, he wants out, and the Nets want to get anything they can. So if you just sit back and say, nah, we're good, to anyone who makes an offer, then someone eventually will get desperate. I think if you have to play it cool, calm, and collected. So I guess there is a world where you could maybe sit back and someone will eventually say, well, geez, Durant's just here. Let's just send a godfather offer for him. He's still one of the best players in the game. But the Nets did all of these moves to get here, and I think it would be foolish to say, all right, well, we tried, but let's focus on making Kevin Durant happy.
Right. All right, so it is time for our world-famous gambling segment, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, woo-hoo! We started this a while back on Vanessa and Glant. We've been learning the art of gambling with you. That was kind of our deal here, wagering, betting, whatever you want to call it. We've been trying to bring you guys along with us, and it's been really fun. So, in the spirit of the Astros doing so well and absolutely crushing it, the man that's been enticing all of the MVP chance, of course, I'm talking about Yordan Alvarez. What are the odds, per Vegas, that he can win the American League MVP? Here's what we have right now.
Yes.
Here's what we have right now.
BUSR.AG.
We have Aaron Judge at -109. We have Shohei Ohtani at +225. Yordan is currently at +750. And Mike Trout, who had an abysmal series against the Astros, +1325.
And right, and that's, once again, per our guys at BUSR.AG. So I look at these numbers, clearly Aaron Judge is the very clear favorite. I am annoyed that Ohtani is ahead of Yordan. And here's what sucks for Yordan, even though we have seen him be capable in the field this year. He is going to have it held against him that he is not an everyday player like Aaron Judge, and that he is not a pitcher slash player like Shohei Ohtani.
Shohei, right.
I think Judge, because of the home run lead he has, that shouldn't be the only determinant in him getting the MVP. And I think that maybe the reason that he is the front runner is because of the fact that he didn't win it back in 2017, where a lot of people thought he should have won it. I also feel like, too, the fact that he's a Yankee, that definitely works in his favor. But is Judge such a good fielder that he should be
considered, because he actually plays in the field every single day, significantly more of an MVP candidate than Yordan Alvarez? Because that's what the odds are saying right now per BUSR.AG.
Are they sponsoring us now?
No, I'm just saying these are our guys.
Why are we saying their name three or four times that they're
not
sponsoring
us? Because that's the website I use. It's the only website I use.
Yordan, can Yordan get the most home runs in MLB? Aaron Judge is favored at negative, Aaron Judge is favored for the most home runs in MLB at minus 151. Schwarber, former Indiana Hoosier, is plus 500. Alvarez shares that same number at plus 500. I am interested in seeing these guys in the home run derby. That's kind of a separate situation. But yeah, what do you think about most home runs?
Well, so with the way things currently stand, it does feel like even with Yordan hitting the bejesus out of the ball, you had Aaron Judge hitting a grand slam last night. You know, he just continues to hit home run after home run. So I do think that there's a chance that Alvarez can win MVP. Check that Alvarez can catch Aaron Judge, just like there's a chance that the Astros can overtake the Yankees in the American League pennant race. Judge has 30. Kyle Schwarber is 27. Alvarez is 25 right now. And Alvarez has been, I mean, he's the player of the month for this past month. Is he going to have a month where he hits even more home runs? I don't know. I mean, with the way he's hitting, it feels like he's more of a pure hitter than Judge is. Judge seems to be like all about the power, and he's got a lot of strikeouts right along the way. Alvarez seems to be a more complete hitter. And I guess I'm totally fine with Alvarez not having the home run lead. And also, I would probably say, like, Judge seems to just be swinging for home runs. And plus, they play in that little cheap rinky-dink ballpark. So, yeah, I think Judge is the one to go with that on that one. But it's not a fun bet, you know? It's like,
no,
talking minus 151. He's the odd-on favorite.
Right. I do think that, I mean, you bring up a good you bring up a really good point about Yankee Stadium being more conducive to home runs for Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge is also playing for that contract, right? Like, he really is swinging for the fences. But I look for Yordan to maybe catch him, especially if he has more of those walk-off home runs like he did last week. All right, we're going to be talking about more on Vanessa and Gallant, our other world-famous segment, Paul, as you know, which is Garbage Time. We're also going to be talking about that Brittany Griner situation. There is news on that. But first, Paul Gallant wants to tell you about the Passive Investor Network.
Yeah, the Passive Aggressive Network would be, I don't know. Like
how I deal with men.
Oh.
No, I'm kidding. I wish.
Or a large majority of people on the West Coast. The Passive Aggressive Network. They're going to tell you how Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani are actually the MVP.
Deal with conflict.
Right, but they're going to do it without conflict. They'll just say something passive-aggressive about Yordan Alvarez. But the Passive Investor Network, baby, this thing is where you go to invest in real estate. And they personalize a five-year plan for you to help you and your family make real-time money down the road. How do they do it? Well, again, after that five-year plan, they're going to walk you through it on a bus tour. Passiveinvestor.net, promo code ESPN. That is where you go. And when you go on this bus tour, they're going to take you all around town. They're going to show you some spots that they believe are on the rise in the greater Houston area. Spots that they prospect, buy properties in, and flip them. And my God, some of the just things that they are able to do because of their team, led by Ronnie and everybody else that's there, it's really something to behold. And I think that you guys just give it a shot. Passiveinvestor.net is where you go. One more time, the promo code is ESPN. What's the harm in sitting down with them, talking with them, and having them walk you through something that maybe you don't think you can do right now? Passive Investor Network is the name, the website, passiveinvestor.net, promo code ESPN for that bus tour. It's the Passive Investor Network.
Wheel. Fun. Sports. ESPN 97.5. Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, so we usually keep it light on the show, but it is a big story. Brittany Griner just pled guilty to drug possession, smuggling charges, and said she did not intend to break Russian law. It's the understanding that she did that because the guilty plea is a strategy to help facilitate a prisoner swap. She and her wife were on the phone with the president and the first lady or vice president the other day. So, kind of more serious news, but we're hoping she comes home. That's like a really odd and scary situation.
It is, though. I mean, saying that you didn't know it was a law. I mean, what did you think? You think Russia's cool with like walking down the street, like burning a J?
I will say this, and I know that there are controversial things happening in this country, and that it's not perfect. Stories like this make me so proud to be an American.
Hell yeah.
No, with all seriousness, because I hope that Joe Biden and our administration is able to bring her home. But people do need to learn from this. This could have been this can still be a disaster. We don't know what this judge is going to rule. We don't know if they're going to facilitate a swap. This is really, really scary stuff. And I know it's not perfect in the U.S., but man, we ain't Russia.
The people that they've been asking to swap are like arms dealers. So, I mean, if you're the U.S., do you want to do a swap where you're going to free a WNBA player and let a Russian arms dealer back out? Sorry. Like, that doesn't sound smart.
Wow, so Paul is leave Brittany Griner in jail.
I mean, it depends on who you're making the prisoner exchange with, you know, man? Like, it's one of those things where if you're making a prisoner exchange and you're letting a legitimately like evil person back out into the world. Yeah, like I don't know. I feel like we have bigger priorities. It sucks that she's there, no doubt, but I mean, she messed up, and I think it's unfair whatever punishment they're going to give her. They're obviously a little bit less lenient over there. I feel like it's a very marginal thing, you know, but I get it. Different countries have different standards. It could be even worse. I mean, if she was in some of these places in Southeast Asia, she could be facing the death penalty for having weed on her. That's something that takes place. I want to say the Philippines, Singapore, areas like that, like weed is really illegal. And you can claim ignorance, but it seems like something that, given that it's not even federally legal here, would be a smart thing to, I don't know, Google before you make the trip.
Yeah, you know, let's see, do we have a call, Sean? We don't have a call. We had a call, but he hung up apparently because he hated my voice so much. It is something that people need to consider when they go other places. It is something where, look, the athlete mentality, sometimes pro athletes, I don't care if you're male, female, I don't care what sport you play for, or what sport you play, rather. There is, I think, sometimes that mentality, Paul, that you can get away with anything. Certainly hoping
but
that they
why
can bring...
would you think that if you're a WNBA player? Like, you're not LeBron. I don't know. Right. That, I hate to say it like that,
T's
but
and
I mean...
T's, thoughts and prayers. We hope Brittany Griner is able to come home and that it's able to be in a safe fashion. All right, it is now time for our world-famous segment, Garbage Time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage Time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
All right. Our first story of Garbage Time. The NFL media carousel of who is going to announce games was big. Okay.
You're so excited about this news, aren't you?
No, this is not an official move. This is just a possibility. Would you listen to Brett Favre in the broadcasting booth?
No. No.
No, that was a hard no. Why?
Absolutely not. Because he's low energy. I've heard him do his like radio show. And also, I mean, isn't this guy supposed to be under investigation for like taking funds away from the government of Mississippi for his own deal?
Like, I think he like spoke, was it speaking engagements that he didn't do or something? I don't know. It was something like that. But the 52-year-old Green Bay Packers legend told TMZ Sports, "I would consider it," said he's looking for a, quote, great deal, and that perhaps a Monday or Thursday night broadcasting gig, keep in mind he has zero broadcasting experience, he would be open to.
Look, that's neat and all, but he's a name, that's for sure, but
I don't know. The energy that he doesn't bring, he just doesn't seem like he's that enthusiastic about things when he's talking about them. I would like at least a little energy. And yeah, again, it's $24 million in misspent welfare funds. Like, the Mississippi Department of Human Services has named him as the centerpiece of said lawsuit. You know? Like,
not good.
Kick rocks, dude. Unless you're doing this to try to get some of that money back, which it seems like is likely the reason. Like, hey, Tom Brady just got $300 million from Fox. Well, I'm Brett Favre. Like, can I get $150?
Huh? Yeah.
Anybody?
And beyond the legal issues, to your point, and I loved watching Brett Favre play. He was a favorite in my household, but I just don't know if the excitement would be there. Look, we've seen, like, great quarterbacks that are just very vanilla, like Drew Brees. I'm kind of expecting the same thing from Jason Garrett, to be honest with you. We'll see. Lori Lightfoot to the rescue, question mark.
Oh, God.
Chicago is doing a study on whether or not they should give Soldier Field a dome. It would be extremely expensive, and it would be the biggest change to the Chicago sports landscape since the Cubs put lights in Wrigley Field.
So they have arguably the ugliest stadium in the NFL. It's an old, dilapidated pile of crap that has like a space shuttle crashed into it because of the luxury box that they added. And now they're going to put a dome on top of it. Why? Why? Because, okay, you could get some concerts during the coldest months of the year. What are you doing?
The comment a lot of people are making is essentially, don't put lipstick on a pig. It's a horrific stadium. Just bulldoze and build a new one. Would you be in favor of them moving it to Arlington? I know a lot of people in Chicago have thoughts.
What I'm in favor of is watching Chicago local government making the absolute wrong decision. That's what I'm looking forward to, so I can laugh at them. And then I can say, like, hey, we're about to overtake you population-wise. We're having babies faster than you. So take that, Chicago.
Elon Musk was talking about babies today on Twitter and yesterday about, like, how the population is declining. I'm like, yeah, dude, we're broke. Sorry. We don't want to have kids.
Yeah. That's how it works. I don't get it, though, with this dome. If you're a cold weather team, like, you have very few advantages. So why get rid of the possibility of a cold weather game? You know, you might have a home playoff game against some team that's just absolutely not ready for it. So why? Why would you get rid of that advantage? I don't get it. And I think that football fans in the Northeast actually appreciate going to games in cold weather. It's an experience. You feel like you're on the front lines with your team.
I think it's the government wants to host a Super Bowl. They're like, give us that Super Bowl money.
Yeah.
And you're not gonna play the Super Bowl in Chicago without a dome. So I think
that's a good point.
That's probably what it is. But at the same time, it's like, so how much is putting a dome over a like 200-year-old stadium gonna cost? And how much is hosting a Super Bowl actually gonna make us?
I mean, I will
fine.
Say this,
just
like,
do it.
The retractable roof at Lucas Oil Stadium does make it very versatile for concerts and whatnot, but that stadium's only like 10 years old.
This Soldier has been paid Field. For by Vanessa Richardson for the Greater Indianapolis Tourism Bureau.
It was very, very, very much taxpayer-funded, like one of the top taxpayer-funded. All right. In other news, Jim Harbaugh was very, very dad-like on vacation. He went to Italy with his family. His daughter, Grace, decided to basically TikTok the whole thing. She plays water polo for the Wolverines, by the way. But she had all these funny videos. One of them was him doing kind of a dad walk. Another was them exploring a volcano, and he is absolutely locked in to this volcano tour. Nice to see Jim Harbaugh on vacation and being the exact dad that we would think he is.
What is a dad walk? Is it like a dad version of a crip walk?
No, like a dad walk. Like everybody, first of all, I don't know if you're allowed to say crip walk, but the dad.
You are. No, it's that side-to-side little waddle because you have so many things in your cargo
and he has
pocket.
The khakis on.
Oh, okay. Well, listen, Snoop Dogg said it during an Olympic broadcast. I feel like we're allowed to say it now.
I just didn't know if it was a hashtag.
I just think we're not allowed to make the gang signs.
Okay, so we can say it, but we can't make the signs.
Well, Paul can make the gang signs right now
because no one can see it.
He's
hell yeah, dude! I'm
home, so throw up every gang
if
sign.
If
you know
ain't for. Up on things, Dr. Dre is the name. I'm ahead of my game. so hard to be this Crip. Just kidding. I don't know what any of that means.
Oh, yeah, dude.
James Cameron has some opinions on three-hour movies.
Yes, he does.
Put this on there, yeah.
Yeah, Vanessa. So, I mean, there's Avatar 2 is coming out. I'm sure it'll be a tremendous disappointment.
Never saw the first.
Yeah, the first one wasn't as good as everyone made it out to be. Like, there were some cool special effects in it, but okay. Basic, hey, man invades alien world, becomes one with alien culture. What? It's, like, legitimately a carbon copy of Dances with Wolves. Anyway, James Cameron gets mad when people talk about three-hour movies like they're too long. I don't want anybody whining about length, said Cameron, when they sit and binge-watch television for 8 hours. I can almost write this part of the review. The agonizingly long three-hour movie. It's like, give me a bleeping break. I've watched my kids sit and do 5 one-hour episodes in a row. Here's the social paradigm shift that has to happen. It's okay to get up and go pee. Well, yeah, but you don't want to do that in a movie theater.
Like, I agree with you. I was going to say, I actually do see what he's saying because people binge watch. I got to tell you, I've been watching Veep with Julia Louis-Dreyfus. I had never even thought about watching it before.
Good show.
It's very good. I see what he's saying. But at the same time, maybe your movies should hold people's attention better. Top Gun Maverick, I have the bladder of a pregnant woman with triplets. And I sat through that whole thing and didn't pee because it was that good.
It was awesome. Yeah, that movie was great. I was
tiny
bladder
movies,
myself.
Bud.
Yeah, I think, look, the movie theater experience is the reason that what James Cameron said is full of it. I mean, yes, you should whine about a movie that's too long when you are watching it in theaters and paying $25 to see it. Or whatever you end up paying for it. If you go to a good theater, you're paying like $25. You go to iPad. You know, I'm just saying, if you're going to go to see a movie and pay that much money for it instead of waiting for it to come out on streaming and watching it at home, then that argument doesn't hold weight. Because I don't want to get up and go to the bathroom and miss part of the movie when I can pause it if I'm watching it at home and then go to the bathroom.
Yeah, some viewing experiences are better in the home. But I do see what he's saying. Just goes back to make better movies, make them more interesting, man. Then you won't have the problem. All right, Paul, sending you some healing vibes. We'll hear you tomorrow again, I assume, from your room.
I hope I call in on the phone again tomorrow.
Yeah, that was an experience. Coming up on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, you're going to hear Jeremy Branham, Joel Blank, the Killer Bees from 12 to 3 here on ESPN. We'll talk to you soon, guys. Thanks for tuning in.
Peace.
ESPN 97.5.